California's prisons have been dangerously overcrowded for years, and yet another attempt to reduce the prison population is on the ballot in November. It's called Proposition 57. Some Californians are concerned the prop would put the public at risk.
Come November, thousands of convicted criminals could be back on the streets if one proposition is passed by voters.
57 opens doors for violent felons, allowing them to be released from prison early, back into neighborhoods, even yours.
But others say Prop 57 makes us safer by investing in rehabilitation. It would actually affect the juvenile and adult systems a little differently. Reporter Meredith Hodnott tells us more.
Daniel Mendoza is starting classes at UC Davis this fall. He's a junior, a sociology major, and an avid Green Bay Packers fan. But just a few years ago, Daniel was looking at life in prison for a long list of charges.
It was, you know, aggravated assault, assault with deadly weapon, murder, gang enhancements. The one thing was that somebody was guilty of murder. Someone died.
How Daniel got from that point to starting classes at UC Davis is connected to California Proposition 57 on the ballot this November. We'll get there in a moment, but first, let's go back to Daniel's story. When Daniel was 14, he was hanging out with a rough crowd. One night, he and some friends jumped a man in the street. In the chaos, someone pulled out a knife and stabbed the man. After a two-month investigation, Daniel and his friends were arrested. In court, Daniel found out that the DA had decided to direct file his case.
I was told that I was being direct filed. I didn't know what it meant at the time. And I shrugged my shoulders and said, okay, you know, not really understanding.
As it stands today, prosecutors can direct file cases at their discretion. That means they can decide whether defendants as young as 14 should be tried in adult court. And this is one of the key things Prop 57 seeks to change. Studies from the Center on Juvenile and Criminal Justice found that the use of direct file varies widely from county to county, from DA to DA, and is biased against Black and Latino defendants. Their report found that Black youth were over 11 times more likely to be direct filed than white youth.
The race of the child and the county in which he or she commits his crime will determine whether or not he'll be direct filed, not the severity of the crime. And that is not what we should be basing these decisions on.
The stakes are high for young defendants. While the juvenile system focuses on rehabilitation, with options ranging from serving time under supervision at home to incarceration at a juvenile hall, in the adult system, there is only punishment and prison. Frankie Guzman from the National Center of Youth Law explains the effect he sees on these young defendants.
Not only are we denying the benefit of rehabilitation, we are ensuring all the negatives that the adult system carries. And so we often see young kids who really quickly have to grow and develop in a prison environment that is extremely violent and choose a road that is between being a wolf and being a sheep.
Instead of direct file, Proposition 57 would ensure that young defendants must have a fitness hearing in juvenile court before deciding whether or not they should be transferred to the adult system.
The difference here is a decision-making process made by a judge with a whole lot of information about the kid, the offense, and the background versus a decision made by a prosecutor who has very little to no information.
For Daniel Mendoza, the consequences of being direct filed didn't sink in for a while.
Because honestly, you know, a 14-year-old looking at life in prison, like, what does he have to look forward to? I kind of numb myself and shut down emotionally just so, you know, I can kind of survive, get on to the next day.
But Daniel got lucky. He was held at the county juvenile hall while his case was in trial. And a teacher there took an interest in him and encouraged him to reinvest in his education.
I picked up a book for the first time and I never stopped. I haven't stopped.
It turns out Daniel is a voracious learner. Taking class after class, he went from a 7th grade reading level to getting his high school diploma, and then moved on to college courses online. Along the way, he picked up a community of support from teachers, mentors, counselors, and probation officers. And after more than 4 years of trial, Daniel pleaded out, and his case was kicked back to the juvenile court.
All of a sudden, I'm in a system where there are options for me.
The community Daniel had built rallied around him and helped him get his sentence suspended. He immediately went to community college, got his associate's degree, and transferred to UC Davis. Stories of incarceration and rehabilitation like Daniel's are at the heart of Prop 57. But you wouldn't know that based on the discourse surrounding it. That's because Prop 57 also affects the adult system. It encourages adult inmates to participate in rehabilitative programs and increases the opportunities for parole for nonviolent felons.
Rehabilitation is the common theme. We no longer want to have a criminal justice system that focuses on punishment to the complete exclusion of rehabilitation.
Governor Jerry Brown has championed this proposition as a way of correcting the tough-on-crime legislation of the past few decades, some of which he helped pass. But opponents see a poorly written measure that could have disastrous consequences. Their primary concern is the lack of a definition of a nonviolent crime. They say Prop 57 could lead to the release of felons whose crimes are heinous, but don't happen to fall under the narrow legal definition of violent.
Tell me, if you would, whether you consider the following crimes to be nonviolent: assault with a deadly weapon, soliciting another to commit murder, rape of an unconscious person, sodomy by intoxicating anesthetic or controlled substance.
That was Larry Morse, district attorney for Merced County, at a legislative informational hearing on Prop 57.
I could go on and on and on.
Even if the definition of nonviolent isn't clear, Prop 57 doesn't automatically grant early release. It only offers an earlier chance to make a case to the State Board of Parole Hearings. And opponents say that undercuts the trial system by giving more power to an ambiguous parole process.
And it makes judges essentially advisory personnel in the handling of cases that come before them.
The Legislative Analyst's Office says that Prop 57 would affect 30,000 inmates who currently serve only about 2 years in prison before being eligible for parole. Frankie Guzman points out that all these inmates are going to be released from prison one day anyways.
The question that we have to ask ourselves, and especially in the context of voting for Prop 57, is how do we want them coming home? Do we want them coming out worse than they went in, the same, or better?
As for Daniel, he's really looking forward to voting for Prop 57 this November, especially because many people with his criminal background don't have that right. In Oakland, I'm Meredith Hodnott for Cross Currents.